Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Matthew 24, verse number 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? Our Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and I pray that you'd give us clarity of thought, that we might know the truth, and the truth might set us free. And I pray, Lord, that you might fill me and give me the power of your Spirit to bring forth this last message in the series, The Darkening Cloud of Deception. In Jesus' name I pray, for his sake, amen. Matthew 24 is the Lord's pattern for the end of the age as it unfolds chronologically, beginning in verse 4 all the way through verse 31. Then, in verse 32 and 33, he gives the parable of the fig tree, showing that because of all of these events that he unfolded, we should be aware of the times and seasons of the day that the Lord is going to come as it approaches. In verses 1 through 3, as we read, is the introduction when the disciples ask the question that brings forth the rest of the Lord's precise chronological answer. Verses 1 through 14 shows the global overview of the entire end of this age, the church age, the age of grace, up to verse 14, where he says, And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The end here, as he describes it, and as Daniel describes it in Daniel chapter 11, as the time of the end, is the day of the Lord. But there are these events that he has given that will precede the day of the Lord, showing when he will return. The times and the seasons, we won't know the day or the hour, but we will know when it is approaching. As ye see the day approaching, Hebrews chapter 10 gives us an exhortation to exhort the saints, to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. We will have the ability as believers to understand how soon and how close it's coming that he is going to return to bring us out of this world and take us home to be with him. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 17, records the arrival of the saints out of the great tribulation. And so, in order to couple together the first two messages, we looked at the intervening events, those things that have to occur, and then in the second message, we looked at the darkening cloud as it deceives and it deadens the saint, and it also disarms the saint, this darkening cloud of deception, which is called the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, we covered the history of that theory earlier, and we looked at a number of issues, but the last issue that this theory brings to the forefront is that there are false teachers in the church. If there are no Bible texts to support the at any moment return of Christ, and in fact there are plenty of Bible passages that confirm there are necessary intervening events that have to occur, prerequisites, that things that are going to happen before the Lord comes, as we outlined in part one, then what must be done to correct this conflicting, errant message? Dr. S.P. Tregellis, called the greatest Bible scholar of the 19th century, we've referred to him earlier, during the rise of the pre-tribulation rapture, pointed out that two major issues were his great concern in that day. One was this denial of the intervening events, those things that the Bible shows will occur. Number two was the introduction of false teachers in the church. It is significant that the pre-tribulation rapture was born during the same era when the meteoric rise of false Christ was at its zenith, for the birth of the major false Christian cults such as the Mormons, 1827, or the Latter-day Saints, as they're called today, the Seventh-day Adventists, 1830, the Christian Scientists, 1848, the Jehovah's False Witnesses, 1870. These all took place during that same era. These cults were the devil's response to the Second Great Awakening, Charles Finney's revivals, and the prayer revival of 1858. The pre-tribulation rapture's beginnings, although it's found in the writings of Morgan Edwards in the late 18th century, the real development and advancement of this theory didn't take place or be formulated until the now famous dream and prophesying of Margaret MacDonald in 1832, as we stated in the first part of this message. Even though the scripture forbids women from speaking in the churches, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, her prophesying was accepted as coming from the Lord when she prophesied in Edward Irving's Pentecostal Catholic Apostolic Church in England, and it became the foundation of the pre-tribulation rapture theory. Her dream, being the source of her prophesying, is also shown to be out of order in that the church age will be characterized by young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams, Acts 2:17, not young women. Therefore, even her dream must be rejected as not coming from the Lord. This same verse does authorize prophesying. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. But the key here is that it is not to be done in the church, where women would be in authority over men. So, a false doctrine was born, much to the dismay of those who knew the Word of God during that time, and men like the great scholar Dr. S.P. Tregellis was at the forefront of the battle. Although he was a recognized biblical scholar of the highest degree, having published the Englishman's Greek Concordance, the Englishman's Hebrew and Chaldee Concordance, along with six other study volumes, including the Greek New Testament with ancient readings in full, and Jerome's Latin version, he was soundly ignored by those who based their pre-tribulation rapture theory on merely theories, founded primarily on the dream and prophesying of a young woman. However, we are now well over a century and a half from that day, and this theory has now gone full circle, having become the entrenched tradition in the majority of Bible-believing churches of the USA. Therefore, it doesn't really need the support of the truth of the Word of God, but simply the word of great men of the past. This seems to be the substance necessary to uphold and confirm this most grievous error. And so, introducing the truth of Scripture at a moment like this is first met with the cry, heretic. Just what does he think he's doing? I've been preaching and teaching the pre-tribulation rapture theory for 30 years. Therefore, it must be the truth, they say. I remember when I was first confronted concerning my so-called errant prophetic beliefs, a friend who still is my friend came to me to straighten me out on the subject, and after 30 minutes or so of patient explanation, he was scratching his head and considering my position. he was not aware of the relative newness of the pre-tribulation rapture, and that it was a theory, and how it is born, how it was born, and its flaws, etc., etc. But the issue that needs to be resolved is this. There are definitely false teachers in the church, and the majority of them are unaware, because for the most part, this different from tradition pre-wrath rapture message of truth concerning the coming of Christ and the end of the age in the fundamental Bible teaching churches, it's being ignored or soundly rejected as heretical without an honest evaluation of the truth. In recent years, another false theory has been set forth in an attempt to prop up the false pre-tribulation rapture theory due to its obvious flaws. They're being uncovered by the pre-wrath rapture doctrine, which is taught in Scripture. This new false theory they put forth teaches that there is an undetermined period of time between the rapture of the church and the beginning of the day of the Lord. It's during this time period, this unknown period of time, or actually it's unbiblical, as we'll see. They say that these intervening events that have surfaced from the Scripture are now being said by them to occur in that unknown time period. And this is because many events are clearly taught to take place before the day of the Lord begins, such as, number one, the sending of Elijah the prophet, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, Matthew 17, verse 11. Number two, the awareness of the believer, Matthew 24, 32 and 33, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 5. Number three, the falling away, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 3, and Daniel 11, 30. The man of sin will be revealed, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-3, Daniel 11, 31. The Great Tribulation, Daniel 11, 31-12:3, and Matthew 24, verse 15-28. The Heavenly Wonders, Joel 2, 30 and 31, Matthew 24, 29, Revelation 6, 12 and 13. Number 7, the Second Coming of Christ, Matthew 24, 29-31, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. This second coming of Christ, the parousia, which is the Greek word used three different times in Matthew 24, is an arrival and continuing presence of the Lord himself. Therefore, in order for the false teaching of the at any moment return of Christ to stand, there had to be a separation or time period fabricated between the second coming of Christ and the day of the Lord. When these intervening events that we listed above, they were so-called discovered, and they definitely have been in the Bible from day one. This new fabrication or false theory was brought forth just about 5 or 6 years ago in order for the pre-tribulation rapture to remain credible. Consequently, this new false theory has been invented in an attempt to cover for the old theory, which never was based on the Scripture. Isn't that the way it is with lies? When the truth is clearly revealed, another lie becomes necessary in a futile attempt to sustain the initial falsehood. However, from the beginning of the pre-tribulation rapture, it has taught that the return of Christ to rapture the church and the 70th week of Daniel, which they also call the tribulation period, they both occur on the same day, which is exactly what the Lord Jesus taught in Luke 17, 22-30. Let's read that passage. And he said unto the disciples, Luke 17, verse 22-30, and he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning shines out of the east, for as the lightning that lightens out of the one part of heaven shines under the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The Lord here in this passage clearly reveals the direct same-day parallel between the two past supernatural interventions of God when he brought his deadly judgment upon the earth and the future judgment of the day of the Lord. So there's that direct parallel here. It will be the same day. Now, he also taught that there'll be an unaware business as usual attitude among those who will be destroyed by God's judgment, as it was in those two times when the worldwide flood came in Noah's day and when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. So there'll be a business as usual attitude, but the destruction will come. But before that, God will rescue his own people the same day he brings his devastating supernatural judgment upon the earth and its inhabitants. This same day rescue then retribution pattern will be identical in the future day of the Lord, when he brings his final judgment in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The day of the Lord, the most prophesied event in Scripture. Paul also indicated this same sequence when he unfolded his classic rapture day of the Lord passage. Let's read that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, all the way through chapter 5, verse 10. A lengthy passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep, those that have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness in that day. That day shouldn't overtake you as a thief. You're all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope, the confident expectation of salvation or deliverance. For God has not appointed us to wrath, which is the day of the Lord, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by rapture, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Here the clear emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ and Paul's detailed unfolding of this future sequence of rescue, then retribution, are compelling to say the least. But these truths also explicitly reveal the obvious error of this newly fabricated false theory, which teaches there will be an undetermined time period between the rapture and God's day of the Lord's judgment. We know, and we hold to these precious prophetic truths of Scripture. We must continue to preach and teach them at all opportunities the Lord provides, beginning at home, with our loved ones, those whom God puts under our authority. We got to give them the convincing truth of the Word of God, not a theory, so that their minds will not be darkened or deceived or their hearts deadened by this great cloud of deception, which is based upon the tradition of a pre-tribulation rapture theory. Underlying theory. That's going to make everybody vulnerable to being unprepared for the fierce and deadly persecution that's coming. Yes, it's even now increasing worldwide upon all those who believe. Our Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that we can rest in you. We know that you have everything under control as you continue to prepare the earth and your people for this time that's coming upon the earth. And Lord, I pray as we look forward to that day, as the blessed hope is our focus, and as we anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that we might be witnesses unto him, that we might win souls for Jesus, that might be our battle cry. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.